Hi, guys, and welcome to Nightlock Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to us. This is the podcast dedicated to the Hunger Games series by Suzanne Collins. My name is Matt.
And I'm Kira.
And we are your hosts for this podcast. If you already know us, thank you for rejoining. If you are new to the podcast, we'd like to thank you for listening in to us. So, the segments today include our Mock and Mail segment. We have five pen and post stories today. Our Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen segment with chapters 12 and 13. My segment, which is Matt Smolotti's music, with a song recommendation. And we are bringing back fanfic followers this week because we actually have this really good fanfiction that I just read when we were started. And it's absolutely fantastic. So, we're going to go with that. This is another fun-packed episode filled with our world-renowned segments with listeners in countries such as Israel, Singapore, UK, Canada, Germany, and Australia.
We're getting famous.
So, Also, I just want to thank, if you guys were listening last episode, we had our friend Mariah on with us. We were supposed to have our friend Diana come with us this week, but she unfortunately couldn't make it. So, hopefully she'll be on next episode. So, we just wanted, if you guys liked Mariah, just let us know how she was, because we really liked her, and we enjoyed her having her on the show.
You can send her a message at our Gmail account, so.
So, guys, just keep a lookout for next week, and see, we'll probably have Diana on for us. So, we're going to fire things up today,
I actually had that written down, I was like,
we're going to fire it up with Mock and Mail today.
Alright, so, Mock and Mail is our segment where we read emails or something that you guys sent us, so, we're starting off with, we just have one because we're kind of time crunched a little bit today, but, hey, Kieran, Matt, just wanted to let you know I'm seriously addicted to your podcast. About a month ago, I read the entire series and became so obsessed with it. I would stay up to 3 a.m. reading and would only stop because I had work the next day. My husband isn't much of a reader, but he knows the entire book because I'd always give him a chapter-by-chapter recap. Kind of like we do. It's great to be able to connect with other people who love the book as much as I do. I definitely need to catch up with all your episodes. P.S. I'm a graphic designer and was curious if you'd like a little facelift for your header. Of course it would be free, just because I love these podcasts so much. Hope to hear from you.
Melly.
So, XO Melly.
Yeah, if you guys checked our website, nylock.weebly.com, Melly designed that banner that's on the website.
And it's really cool. Like, it gave me chills. It's got our berries to the side, and then we have Josh as PETA, Jennifer as Katniss, and Liam as Gale. So... and it's got, you know, the Mockingjay symbol in there, and it has Nightlock, a Hunger Games podcast.
So thank you so much, Melly, for doing that for us.
You saved us a pretty penny, and it looks awesome. Like, it just fantastic. Makes us look a lot more professional as we are, so
Yeah. That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, we're very professional.
So, moving on with, not Mock and Mail, I can't talk, Pan and Post. So Pan and Post is news brought to you by the Hunger Games fan sites, HungerGamesMovie.org and HG Girl on Fire, where you can get up-to-the-date news coverage about the fandom, especially the upcoming movie in March. So, to start it off, the Scream Awards, which honors horror, sci-fi, and fantasy films, had a few HG-related nominations, beat out by others, unfortunately. Jennifer Lawrence was nominated for Best Fantasy Actor for her role in X-Men First Class, but was beat out by Natalie Portman. The Hunger Games was also beat for most anticipated film by The Dark Knight Rises. Ugh. And so that aired on Tuesday, October 18th.
That's a shame.
Yeah, on Spike TV. And I was like, oh, no, you can't win. But I think, you know, this is going to be just the beginning. Kind of, we're getting recognition already.
Yeah.
So that's good. So that's awesome. Now, in our Pan and Post, we've talked a lot about the capital, Dapien. And so... something that's similar to that is PanemOctober.com, and I'm sure most of you have heard of it and even been on the site before. And so PanemOctober is an APG, alternate reality game, that allows you to live in the book, or quote, it describes itself here, quote, allows you to live in the book, to become a character, to be placed in a district, and get a sense of what's really like to live in Panem.
Oh my god.
While the Hunger Games is happening. Wow. You can connect with the other Hunger Games fans, support your district tributes, and involve yourself in many things happening in your community. As time progresses, the game timeline will move from chapter to chapter. Fans will experience each chapter of the Hunger Games book from start to finish through this experience. So, what does this remind us of, Matt?
Pottermore.
Pottermore.
Okay, so if you guys have been registered or pre-registered for Pottermore, I was just thinking about this. It reminds me exactly of Pottermore.
They actually have on the FAQs, the first question is this a Pottermore for the HG series? So, you know, when I found out about this, I heard about this, and then I looked into it, and it is pretty cool. Like, I don't think they started chapter one yet, like, the whole kind of story thing, but you can get your, like, username or whatever, and your district, and kind of just look around on the site, and so it's pretty cool. And so, which site do you think is more exciting? The Lionsgate's official, the capital.pn, or panamoctober.com, which has... really a fan-made
I haven't site. Really looked at Panem October yet. Usually I go on capital.pn every day because yeah. I like those little sound effects.
It is really that. Cool. It's more professional,
it
I
is.
Think.
Well, because it's actually made by Lionsgate.
So more money was probably yeah. able to put into
but, it. But I'll have to check out Panem October. I have no idea like who their sponsors. I know Sony sponsors Pottermore.
Right.
And so usually Sony does very good with that kind of stuff. So I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah.
Also, if anyone's in District 1, that's my district, so there's only 1,000 of us, like 1,700 yeah. of us in District 1.
And we'll talk about District 1 a little later today in our fanfic followers segment, but yeah.
Why?
So.
Kato and Clove aren't in District 1.
They are.
No?
No?
No? Glimmer is in District 1.
I'm just kidding, guys. Just testing you. Okay,
oh my god,
so
how do you not know that?
I got a little confused. It's been a rough day, Matt. It's been a rough day.
It's okay. All right.
Even though it's only 12, you know.
So we'll just keep going.
Okay, so in some exciting news, our beloved Mockingjay has won second place in the YALASA, Young Adult Library Services Association, 2011, Teen's Top 10 list as a favorite book. So what beat it out? Clockwork Angel by Cassandra Clare, which I'm still reading, and it's taken me months to get through because I'm working on this podcast. But I love the Mortal Instruments series. I feel like I bring it up every other episode, but it's an awesome series. Matt has to read it, and once he does, you know,
like
that would
be
great. Yeah. Well, if I have time, I definitely do. So that was just a kind of cool thing. So, in other news, Scholastic UK reveals beautiful covers for the adult editions. So, I know you probably haven't seen the covers. They're
for
very,
what?
I just said, the UK reveals beautiful covers for the adult editions.
Of the Hunger Games?
Of the Hunger Games.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about Mortal Instruments.
Well,
we're totally
just,
changing
you...
the theme of this episode. Yeah, so what do you think about having so many different covers? What do you think?
Well, this is, well, like, what's the difference between the adult one and...
It's more, like, obviously we're in the US, so our cover is... the U.S. edition, but theirs is just with the bird just, like, alone. It doesn't have, like, the,
pin.
Yeah, well, no, it might have the pin, but, like, it's, like, I feel like the books definitely are, like, kind of teenage books.
Yeah.
And are you looking for your book?
No, I was
right. Okay. and I feel like the adult books definitely do look more sophisticated and everything,
yeah.
But I feel like having so many different covers, like, it kind of makes it, like, it takes away from the series because it's not, like, oh, you see one cover, and it's like, oh, that's the Hunger Games. Like, I don't know, there's so many of them, and, like...
Yeah. I mean, because, obviously, there's different covers for Harry Potter books as well.
Yeah, but I feel like...
I mean, it's...
There's, like, a British version, and then a children's version. I mean, I guess there are a lot of different, because, like, the adult books also. But I feel like it's kind of more iconic if you just have one. It's, like, classic, and...
Yeah.
I feel like it's better, like... And it's not like they look that childish. Like, I really don't... They look teenage, like... Which is
but
fine.
But it's also, it can also give the opportunity for, like, Suzanne to come up with different designs that she wouldn't be able to have in the first place.
Yeah,
like
I don't think the author, I don't think comes up with the designs. I think it's the publisher or whatever,
okay.
Like, because, like, when you write a book, you send it in and, like, you see what happens. So, like, which stinks, but.
Okay.
Yeah, so, so our last news story here, our friend and colleague from HungerGamesMovie.org, Will, posted about the Collector's HG edition, which has been released, and, quote, the book has a hard and fairly tough cardboard slipcase. The slipcase has gold Mockingjay embossed prominently on either side. I wish there were more special features, but this is an excellent and swanky-looking version. to give as a gift during the holidays. It is also great for, as the name suggests, collectors. So, Will, you never said if you will buy the book. But, so what about you? Do you think you're going to get it?
Well, how much is it?
That would have been good to include, huh? I'm guessing 20.
For just the one book?
It's the same thing. It's just the outside that looks different. I feel like it's rip-off. They're just trying to make money off of us. There's nothing different about it. Like, I'm all for, like, the franchise and having, like, everything. But I feel like just having, like, the original three books is all I need. Like, obviously, when they come out with the illustrated guide and all that, I'm going to be interested in that because that's different material. But I don't want a book of the same thing, you know? Like, I don't know.
I'm trying to process what you're saying. Well, okay. So you don't think the cover would be worth it?
Yeah, it's not that different. It's just like, okay, it's a different cover.
Well, you have to understand, like, if someone is a collector, they're going to want it to have it. So it's gonna be a rare type of item.
Like, yeah, but it's not rare because it's not.
Once it goes off sale, I guess it's gonna be worth a lot more.
I don't know because it's like, oh. To read the full article from Will and see images from the newest book, you can visit HungerGamesMovie.org. So,
I don't know. We're the official podcast on our website if you guys weren't listening last week.
Yes.
And HG Girl on Fire as well.
We're affiliates with them. So,
okay.
We're getting bigger.
We're almost at 4,000 subscribers, guys.
Yeah.
Just saying that.
And we need more reviews on iTunes.
Yes,
let's try and get to, like, the third top Hunger Games. That'd be great. Yeah. Or be Andrew Sims. No, like, he's, like, my role model, so it'd be really cool. Like, at one point, we were past his podcast, and I was, like, jumping up and down.
Yeah, so if you guys could review us on iTunes, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I know some of our friends have done it, but there's 4,000 of you guys, so.
If 10% of you can do it. That would be amazing.
Hey, Kira, what's 10% of 4,000?
I'm not going to say. What is it, like 40? Yeah? No? Yeah, it's 40. It's 40. Okay. I'm good at math. I'm getting good grades.
All right, continue.
Okay, so our next segment is Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen. And this is our main segment, analyzing the books by chapters. We summarize what happened in the chapter, along with interpretation of the characters within the chapter, foreshadowing future events, and our thoughts, questions, and comments. We also bring up some speculation. Last episode, we discussed chapters 10 and 11, which were jam-packed and probably some of the best chapters of the book. So today, we will continue with chapters 12 and 13, which are a little more low-key, but all the same, they're awesome chapters. So this would be your cue.
It's 400.
Oh, is it 4? I knew that.
All right, we're not
right, because 10% of, like, 400 would be 4, right, okay.
Just stop talking.
All right, so...
Alright, so we're going to move on to... Chapter 12. So, first off, we ended Chapter 11 with Katniss discovering that Peeta has joined the careers, which are Districts 1, 2, and 4.
Are we going to say this every episode
Yes, because we need to get it right. So, Katniss practically, you know how she's in the sleeping bag in the tree and she
belted it in on that third loop, as Mariah said.
And so, she practically falls out of the tree. Because she's in complete shock that he's doing this. And so while she's hanging there and she's listening to what the tributes are saying, she's thinking...
Literally hanging? Or like...
Yeah, she's, like, gripping the branch. Picture she's, like, laying on her back on the branch.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, she, like, flips over.
Oh,
and
right.
And she's, like, her body weight's on the belt and her hands or legs are around the branch.
Oh, goodness.
Keeping her strapped in. So, she says that... I remember him shaking his head, telling me not to go into the fight for supplies, when all along he planned to throw himself into the thick of things. So, I think, like, the word thick, I think of it as, like, a British kind of term, in a sense.
Yes.
Like, into the thick of things. It's also, like, into the heat and, like, getting involved when you really shouldn't, when, in a sense, he's kind of, like, contradicting himself. And so, Katniss is questioning that whole thing. And, she... It describes to the reader while she's still hanging there. This happens in about, like, 7 minutes. She's talking to the reader about the career tributes and how no one, like, she doesn't really like them and no one of the other districts particularly are fond of them.
Uh-huh.
She says that they are overly vicious, arrogant, better fed, but it's only because of the capital's lapdogs. So if you
what does she mean by lapdogs?
Like, Like, they're the servants.
Oh, okay.
So, if you remember, districts 1, 2, and 4 all created, like, all made supplies that were beneficial to the capital.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're obviously going, the capital's obviously going to give them something in return.
Right. They're the favorites and kind
right.
of.
Right. Yeah. So, obviously, they're going to get, the Koreas are going to get an advantage
mm-hmm.
because the capital is most likely going to sponsor them. Or people,
well, yeah, I mean, they get to train,
more, they're
so.
Going to have more money, in a sense,
yeah.
because they're better off. So.
And they're going to be more physically able to mm-hmm. beat the others.
So, and now, I just, this is, what I do for chapters, I usually just find out quotes and I analyze them, so. Here's another one that she says that obviously the noble boy on the rooftop was just playing one more game with me. So then it's going on with him being manipulative and mm-hmm. Just like really deceiving. And she says that I would eagerly watch the night skies for signs of his death if I don't kill him myself first. Him first, myself. Okay.
What?
if I don't kill him first myself. That's literally what the book said.
That doesn't. Am I just slow?
No. It was, I'm serious, it really said that.
Cracking the book open.
So, I'm going to ask you a question. So,
okay.
do you think that Katniss is really planning on killing Peeta, or she's just trying to persuade the reader that she's a strong-willed person?
I think she's, yeah, second, she's trying to persuade the reader she's really strong, and that she doesn't, like, need a guy, as we said before, and, I don't know, like, she doesn't need a guy, and I don't think she wants the reader to ever see her as weak. Like, do we ever see her weak in the book?
No.
No, exactly.
Well, we see her cry at times, but that's when she's by herself.
Yeah. She's never, whenever she's around someone else, she's strong.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's her main trait.
Because, like we described in the other book, she wants to give off the impression that she's a strong person.
Like, I don't think she's strong enough to kill Peeta, though, like, emotionally.
She isn't. She isn't. She really is not strong enough to kill him. So, while Peeta goes off and he finishes the other girl tribute that was making the
so
fire
Peeta,
in the middle of the night.
So Peeta, he kills the other girl. Like,
yes.
Finishes her off.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, he does. He says, like, he comes back and they ask him, is she dead? And he says,
but
she
what?
Is now.
Yeah, but, like, oh, she is now. Yeah, but, like, say, like, Kato hit her or something, like, whatever, and she just wasn't quite dead yet, and then Peeta went back, and then she was dead. Like, he didn't actually do anything.
Well, we don't know. He gives off the impression that he finished her off.
But, like, do you think he would do that? I feel like he's not.
I think he went there, and he watched her die.
Yeah, like, he didn't.
Because I don't think Peeta has to really.
And, like, what weapons did he have on him? It was, like, knives, right? So, like, I don't know.
It's a questionable.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what happens, because Katniss didn't see it, so she can't tell us.
Right. I feel like he didn't, because I feel like they would have, like, Collins would have made such a bigger deal
yeah.
out of it if he killed someone. Because it's Peeta we're talking about, the sensitive lover boy, like.
Well, I don't know. Based on our dark duels, Peeta's winning. You
know? I
okay,
know.
Okay, dark duels. It was,
hey, no, we gotta stay
no,
in the
I
segment.
I just want to mention this. Alright,
oh, God.
Peeta picked Mariah, I picked Clove, Kira picked Rue. The ratings right now is that Mariah's winning with Peeta, I'm in second place with Clove, and Kira's in last place with
I'll bring Rue. It up.
Alright, so moving
you keep
on.
Going.
While Peeta's gone, the Koreas are talking about, like, why Peeta's with them, and they say that he's very good with knives. And Katniss gives this little, she gives this set, and she goes, is he now? That's news. It's a lot of interesting things I'm learning about my friend Peeta today. So it's like, that's her, like, dark humor, in a sense, trying to, like, lighten, trying to make herself feel better.
Comic relief.
The comic relief, in a sense. So, then it's just like, I think that's how she is, and she, all these situations that she's in, she's trying to put in some humor to make herself feel better.
Yeah, I think you can't, as a human, like, you can't accept, like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. Like, we're kind of, what do you call that? Not neglecting, but, like, when you just keep telling yourself it's not gonna happen even though you know it is.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
I don't know.
Why am I blanking out? Like, lying to yourself, whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called. Oh, god.
I feel so smart today. Yeah, well, we're trying to convince ourselves that, oh, we're going to be fine. Like, you can't go there in your head. Like, you just can't. Like, even, like, relating to this to the outside world, like, the Holocaust or something. Like, you're so just, no, I'm going to survive. You got to keep telling yourself that, or yeah. You really aren't going to. You mm-hmm. have to have that strong-willed power, and I'm really bad at multitasking.
No, keep talking.
Yeah, so.
I'll do it. Just keep talking.
Yeah, like, you can't. If you say to yourself, I'm going to die, it's giving up, too. And that's not like her. Or right. PETA.
It isn't.
I think, really, all the tributes, I don't think, are about giving up. Can you think of one that we know about? Like, we only know half of the tributes.
Yeah.
And so, of those we know of, they all have that fighting, like, kind of power that stays with them, and that's what keeps them going. Mm-hmm. And they need to get home to someone, or like, I don't know, like, we don't know too much about like Cato and Clove's past or whatever, but like, we can think that like they want to go home and win for their district, probably to like prove to their parents that they're you know, like, strong and that they can take care of themselves and everything, and like bring the glory home. And so yeah.
That's really interesting.
Thanks.
Think about. So, moving on. The, so, like, the careers are, this, she's keep listening as the careers are talking about Katniss and, like, how they're trying to use PETA to see if he can get them to her. And, she's saying that, like, the simple-minded girl who has been taken seriously because of her 11, because she can use a bow and arrow, which PETA knows better than anyone. So it's sort of like she's putting her trust in PETA not to tell them anything.
Right, because she can't go up to him and say, oh, please don't tell. Like,
right.
She's so, just got to trust him at this point.
She's just like, she's trying to say, I have to trust PETA right now, even though he's basically betrayed me. But she doesn't know why he betrayed her.
Right.
So,
little does she know it's to save her life.
So, it's just, she's trying to, like, put some faith into him. She's trying to see that there's some good left in him. Even though, in a sense, there isn't much, because based on what she's seeing...
At the moment,
there's not much left. So, she morning comes, and, oh, obviously she rolls back over onto the bench, because she's not going there all night. So, she decides that she needs to get off the train, get down from the tree, and she needs to...
They said train, I was like, why are they on a train?
Get down from the tree! And she needs to keep moving because she is, at this point, her main focus is finding water.
Right.
Because she's suffering from dehydration.
Yes, you got it. And so, okay. Good job.
And so, as she jumps down from the tree, she's convinced herself, she knows that she's going to get an automatic spotlight from the cameras to,
So she's emotionally preparing her face and to look blank. Yes.
And so she jumps down and she stands for a moment to let the cameras get a good glimpse of her. And she says, then I cock my head slightly to the side and give a knowing smile. There, let them figure out what that means. So, I don't know what it means in a sense either.
It's all mind games.
She,
you can't win on just being brawny. Right? It's like you have to have the brain power. So, like,
the capital's manipulating her, but she's manipulating the audience in a sense.
And it all begins.
Oh, God.
Let the games begin.
So, then she discovers she needs to find... What am I doing? Okay. So, right now she checks her traps. So she hit up those snares before she went up to the tree. And, she finds there's a rabbit there.
Nice.
And so she hit...
A hare?
No, it's a rabbit.
Isn't a rabbit and a hare the same thing?
No.
What's a hare then?
A hare.
Oh, burn.
No, I don't think...
It's like a bunny and a rabbit, the same thing.
But I thought bunnies were, like, smaller.
No, it's the same thing. It's just a cuter name. Our friend has bunnies. She calls them rabbits sometimes. It's the same thing.
But hare, bunny.
I think hare is like British, I want to say. But I'm not sure.
Oh, God. Okay. So.
Send us in your feedback.
Moving on. So she goes to the campsite of that girl tribute who was killed, and she starts cooking the rabbit.
The hare.
The hare.
And not so, her own hair, but the rabbit.
So she says that I want sponsors to see I can hunt, that I'm good bet. because I won't be lured into traps as easily as the others will by hunger. So saying that she knows how to survive in these situations. As we were talking about, she has prior experience of being, again, technically the man of the household, yeah. fending for Prim and her mother. So, yeah, that's that. So, this chapter is a lot of questioning. This chapter is more like she's making her way through the arena, and she's constantly thinking about everything that's happening. Questions she asks are like, has Peter revealed his true colors? How does this affect the betting odds? Will we lose sponsors? Do you even have sponsors? It's like she's taking one thing and she's overanalyzing it constantly.
I mean, what else does she have to do, though? Because she's by herself day after day, mm-hmm. like, scared, so that makes the day even longer. And, like, what is she supposed to think about? So these things are just running through her head all day. She starts freaking out over the littlest thing.
Because she doesn't understand, like, why Peter is doing these things, and she's trying to connect back to the outside world. So she has something left to fall back on. She says, okay, maybe we still have sponsors. Maybe we don't.
And she needs to keep her hope up and everything.
So, I'll just skip to the one part. Okay. We have talked about this multiple times.
And I think outside of the podcast.
Outside of the podcast. On our website, we have the Nightlock berries as red berries.
And our theme kind of color has been red.
So, we are, I was looking through the chapters. In this chapter, page 166, I'm going to quote it directly.
U.S. version.
U.S. version.
Hardback. I don't know if there's a difference. Sometimes there is.
Okay. So, I will read this passage, so just listen carefully. I spot a cluster of berry bushes and hurry to strip the fruit, to suck the sweet juices from the skins. But just as I hold them to my lips, I get a hard look at them. What I thought were blueberries have a slightly different shape, and when I break open the insides, are blood red. So, I said that Nightlock berries were originally supposed to be, like, black or blueberries.
I always thought them as red poison.
Nope, they were blackberries with red inside, just as it's quoted in the book.
Right.
So, that's that. My point's proven. I win.
So, yeah. Oh, boy.
She considered...
At least they're red on the inside. I got some of it right.
Okay. But, like, we had a whole fight about this.
Oh, goodness.
It was.
Bickering more than a fight.
Yeah.
I don't think we've actually ever had a real fight, so.
No. Not yet. Okay.
It's coming.
Now, as she's trekking through the woods, she's again suffering from severe dehydration, and she's again questioning, like, she knows that Haymitch, that she has sponsors, and someone out there is willing to give her water. She says that there's someone out there who wants to buy me water. Only Haymitch is refusing to let it go through.
Right, because the, oh my god, what's their names? The, like, Haymitch is called the advisor, mm-hmm. whatever. Okay.
They decide what goes through.
Yeah, so the advisors will, decide what goes through. So, but what's weird is, like, most advisors would just be like, oh, like, someone will offer water, like, I'll pass it on through. But Haymitch is a little tricky and different.
Well, she questions as well. She goes, she says, I know he hates me. But then she thinks, well, maybe he's sending me a message. In a sense. Right. So, like, what message are you trying to send me? Is there water nearby? Maybe I should just keep going the right direction. And it's a lot of insightful things because...
They have such a connection. Like,
that's the thing
about
them.
They're so different, but yet they have so many things in common. Not to be, like, cliche, but, like...
That's what's different about the book. It's all her internal thoughts and all her internal processes. Like, what she thinks about every day and how she questions everything.
And I think Peeta's, like, the one... I mean, he's jealous of multiple things of hers. Multiple talents and whatnot. But I think he's also jealous of the relationship between Haymitch and Katniss. And I feel like, in some ways... I don't want to, like, kind of overstep it here. But, like, in some ways, Haymitch kind of is a fatherly figure. Because he gives advice... But yet, he's not a good role model. He's a horrible role model.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know how to deal with his pain. But again, that's similar to Katniss. She never knows how to deal with her pain.
Exactly.
So.
And Haymitch doesn't show emotion. He substitutes his emotion through drinking.
Right.
Katniss substitutes her emotion through hunting.
Yeah. And solitary. Not confinement, but, like, solitary.
Yeah.
Being.
So, eventually Katniss collapses to the ground, and she just sprawls her hands out.
She keeps licking her lips, her dry, dry lips with her dry, dry tongue. I remember, like, dry was
a lot. Yeah, dry was a very ominous,
common word in the...
Yeah. So then she feels like mud on the ground, and she starts thinking, oh, I love mud. I remember as a kid, I used to play around the mud, and she, like... It's like those things where, like, you get slapped in the face, and then you realize what that is. Like, mud, water. It's like...
Yeah, it was like...
It's like... And then she just crawls a bit further, and she finds this pond of water.
I'm surprised she didn't start just eating the mud. I would have been like, I need to hydrate myself, just gonna go for it.
But like, it's kind of obvious. I mean, obviously mud came from water.
Well, yeah,
so obviously there has to be a body of water nearby.
I wouldn't be patient enough.
So she eventually just drinks a whole lot of the water, and so she finally just goes to sleep thinking tomorrow she's gonna fish and she's gonna fend for herself and she's gonna protect this area. Until...
Kind of mark her territory.
And then she wakes up in the middle of the night to hear a stampede. Obviously, stampede of animals. And then she realizes that a wall of fire descending on me. And that's basically how the chapter ends.
Dum-dum-dum.
So, that's a...
Chapter Good job, there. Matt. That was very well done. Very professional.
Why, thank you. So, we move on to... What?
No, you have to, like, introduce me. I always introduce you.
Oh, okay. So, we move on to Kira with Chapter 13. Take it away.
Thank you, Matthew. Okay, well, Chapter 13, as Matt just said, she wakes up to a wall of fire. And, may I mention... No. You're not eating.
Just keep talking.
No, because I'm about to ask you a question.
All right, okay. I can wait.
Okay, good. Wait until I start babbling a lot. Okay, so, a wall of fire.
Yeah.
Where have we seen this? Okay. Awkward. Okay, the teaser trailer. We saw this clip.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Very cool. So, we saw this in the teaser trailer, and I just thought I'd mention that. I don't really have anything else to say about it, but unless you do. You want to chime in?
Because I don't... Okay.
Okay, no? I'll keep talking. So, she tries to loop back around the fire so she doesn't meet up with the careers, because she knows the Game Makers. The reason for the fire is that they want Katniss and other tributes to have to kind of fight. So force them together. So, that's so the crowd would see some action, as, you know, the Capitol is always trying to please, the people in the Capitol. So she mentions how the Capitol is controlling the fire that's about to kill her. She knows if she can get away from the section, she'll get away from the fire. And so this shows how Katniss knows how to think and be in the mindset of the Game Makers. And this is because she's grown up this way, and she has always had to have that survival mindset and know how to manipulate the Capitol. And then we see this more as the series progresses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've read the series, you kind of know what I'm hinting at. So once the fire stops attacking her, she throws up. So this is kind of where we first see, like, again, connecting this back to, like, war in our world. A lot of things that, I want to say, that movie we watched, what was it called? Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
What battle was that or whatever?
It was World War II, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know it was World War II, but, like, they were going into, I don't want to say Normandy. I don't know.
It was Germany.
Well, yeah, but it was a specific battle, but whatever. So... this is kind of connecting back to that, like, I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, it's really intense, but,
Swery
language. Yeah, it's rated R for a reason, like, and on the way to this kind of, like, they're coming in from the ocean,
yeah,
and going, to the land in order to, like, battle and everything, and the soldiers are throwing up because of, like, the harsh conditions they've been in. They've been in the water, like, you know, and then they have to go back in the water, and they're just so, they're shell-shocked, you know. So I think Susan Collins really takes in the outside world and puts it into Pan Am, and, like, stuff that we deal with, her characters deal with as well, so we can relate to them.
Wow. Because, like, you know how she was saying how she came up with this idea when she was watching a Survivor show and
No, it was war. Reality TV.
Reality TV.
And
which is a Survivor
war.
Show and war. So, like, that's how she's getting that connection from
the whole, they're in war, but yet reality TV has taken over. And I feel like, you know, just like, I'm not a fan of Jersey Shore, and I know you aren't either. I hate it. But probably because the, you know, how I've grown up or whatever. But, I mean, and there's so many people, like, you know, in our grade or whatever that, like, you know, love it and everything. And it's just, it's sick how reality TV can, like, change things. Like, you think about how, for instance, like, TLC, maybe, like, John and K plus 8, like, that exploded.
It's now K plus 8.
Now it's K plus 8. And, like, they're divorced. And how are the kids going to be in the future with all of that? And, like, can you imagine, like, everyone being, oh, they're your parents? And, like, it's just, it's horrible. So it shows you how she's kind of sending us a message that if we don't get our act together, this is how we might end up.
Yeah.
We're always in war. I mean, I'm just waiting for World War III at some point, you know? Like, and reality TV is taking it out of control. So these are kind of the two themes she puts in the books. It's kind of like, shape it up, America and world, you know? America is where the book takes place, but yeah. So that's my spiel. But, anyway. So Katniss smells singed hair and finds 6 inches of her hair off.
Ooh.
That's really
They're gonna have to burn that wig.
It's not a wig, though.
Oh, no, like, they dyed it. Hair. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, first they dyed her hair. We're talking about Jennifer, of course. But, like, 6 inches is a lot. Like, I have long hair, and, like, I don't think I've ever had, like, 6 inches off.
How long
off.
Is 6 inches? It's, like,
it's half a foot. That's like, a foot. Yeah, like, that much. That's all. Well, no, more than that. I don't know. But it's a lot. They can't see us anyway, so. So how do you think this, like, affects her? Like, imagine, I know you can't really relate, but if, like, 6 inches was taken off my hair, I'd be like, oh my god, like, that's part of who you are. Like, I mean, I'm not very girly, but a lot of girls, like, my hair, perfect makeup, you know, everything. But, like, to have 6 inches off, like, that's just, and it's, like, singed. Like, I feel like that's kind of her icon. Of course, like, the Mockingjay is a symbol of kind of everything, but her personally, I feel like bow and arrow, yeah, whatever. But, like, I think her hair, like, her long braid, that's kind of her signature and everything. And so I thought it was significant that the Capitol had singed it off. Like, obviously they didn't detail it to singe it off, but, you know, through their efforts that happened. So yeah. I thought that was kind of important. But so her pant leg is then set on fire, and without thinking, she grabs it with her bare hands. Just a human reaction, you know. So now she's literally the girl on fire. Which is just, it's kind of funny,
it's kind but of ironic,
it's definitely ironic, but it's just sad.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
You know, it's painful.
So
do you think the Game Makers purposely, instead of like a wave or like something else, do you think they picked fire because she's labeled as the girl on fire?
Well, yeah, they probably want to prove her, say, okay, you're the girl on fire, prove it.
Yeah.
In a sense. Like, let's
kind of, like, shove it in her face, like, yeah, you think you can rebel against us? Think again.
Yeah.
Which they, I think, is throughout the whole games. Like, they're just like, look, we have the power, you know? Like, we've got the power. And so,
this is a morbid book, and you have the,
I know. Well, you, comic relief. So, she knows the Game Makers won't kill anyone because they want to see the tributes kill each other. So, she knows that if she can kind of just bear with it, she'll be able to be fine. So, dawn breaks. She, I guess, falls asleep at some point. Dawn breaks, and her calf and hands are badly burned. The worst type of pain, she says. And she's been through a lot of pain. So, you can just imagine.
And physically, yeah.
Yeah. So, she puts her hands and leg in a small pool of water. And so, her fingernail prints of the fire, which, you know, she had done before the games, start to chip off. So, why do you think at this point Collins picked to do it now to have it chip off, like, mention it?
That's a good question. I have no idea, because it's hard to think about it, because it can be taken like, okay, it's kind of like a reinforcement that she's not the girl on fire because of that,
like, it demoralizes her,
or it's a symbol of she's farther away from coming back to reality than she really is.
Like, she's in more danger as she goes, and, like, the fire is supposed to be kind of, like, hopeful, I feel like. Like fire is energy. Lifeline. And then the fire is kind of extinguished, you can say. And so is all of that hope, that energy, and everything. She's kind of, she's a mess at this point, physically, yeah. emotionally. It's just, things are not going well for Katniss. And so then she reflects on how a man her mom cared for medically was badly burned, and the image horrified her. So last episode, we talked about how Prim is stronger than Katniss in different ways. And Prim has more of a motherly instinct and, like, healing and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Then Katniss has a hunting kind of, like, almost more of a male kind of instinct and all that. And so kind of going back, and I have all these connections today I'm full of. Yeah, jazz hands. and so if we think back to, like, the cave days and BC and all that good stuff, the women were the hunt, like, the gatherers. They would gather the berries, you know, hopefully not Nightlock berries.
Just keep talking.
I'm going. So they would gather the fruits and take care of the children and all that, and the men would be hunting. So I feel like Katniss is that hunter, you know, she takes that role on, as we said, and Prim is that gathering, healing type. Yeah. So they're very different.
Very, extremely.
Because I feel like Prim was very young, because what's the age difference between them?
Prim's 12, Katniss is 16.
16. So there's 4 years difference. So Prim, how old was Katniss, do we know, when her dad died?
She said she was 10 or 11.
10. So Prim would have been, like, 6, so, like, first grade-ish. So that's pretty young. Like, you can kind of remember, like, your parents, I guess, like, her dad, but not that much that it would influence, like, her dad probably didn't influence her that much. So I feel like Katniss grew up with her dad as role model and everything, and so she pretty much inherited and is, like, a copy of her father. And Prim kind of grew up more with her mom, so she's more like her mom, and that she's has the healing stuff, and, like, obviously that's partially, like, her just having that instinct. Like, Katniss has that hunting instinct. Like, when Katniss brought Prim to, like, try and teach her to hunt and everything, like, it did not go well. Like, you have to have part of that, like, within you. Like, you can't just, you gotta have some, what do you call it, like, you know, not instinct, but, like, kind of natural way of doing it.
Okay.
So, her leg, jeez, I hate this thing.
No.
How do you?
Touch that.
Okay, thanks. Where am I?
Her leg.
So, her leg looks red, looks like, she has red flesh and blisters, and so she cuts her pant leg off, which I feel like is not a good idea. Like, roll it up or something, I guess. It was just so badly burned, she couldn't. But, like, save the fabric. Like, you only have so many materials.
That's what she does. She uses the fabric.
Yeah. So, and she puts her leg in the pool of water she's next to relieve it. And kind of, this is kind of filler stuff. She eats a meal from the rest of the rabbit and herbs, that, and falls asleep in kind of next to the pool. So the Kreers find her after she falls asleep, and within a minute, she is hidden in a tree. So that's that fight or flight response that she's like, I can't fight because I'm injured, I'm not totally 100% okay. So she has that flight response. And so, of course, she says this hurts her tremendously because one of her legs is, like, really badly burned. And so she's up in the tree and the Kreers are below her. And then it occurs to her, being the kind of sarcastic and witty person she is, that she's a lot lighter than the Kreers. She's, I'm guessing, like, I want to say a little over 100 pounds.
Maybe, like,
maybe.
110, maybe, like, 105. In that area.
Yeah, probably, yeah, like, 105 kind of thing.
Because you have to think she probably lost a lot of weight because of her exercise, for her running around.
Yeah. But I feel like, no, she's always been like that. Like, very skinny,
yeah,
like.
I was thinking that, too.
Kind of, yeah.
So, like, 110.
Yeah. So she, calls down to them, how is everything with you? And then she goes on to say, the air is better up here, why don't you come up? And so I'm pretty sure that the Kreers kind of try and go up there, and then the branches break, and she just keeps kind of...
So she trying to, like, irritate
she's,
them.
I feel like she kind of, like, relating this back to Twilight, like, how, you know how, like, they can just, like, jump on the, like, branches and be all kind of very, like, airy and almost, like, kind of like a pixie, I kind of picture, like Alice. And she can kind of just, like, flutter up and whatever she wants to do. And so Glimmer has the bow and arrows in her possession, but she kind of uses her sword. But so Katniss is amazing at climbing, and being lightweight means they can't reach her, as I said. And so Glimmer attempts to shoot her and misses by a long shot. And so this results in Katniss having an arrow in her possession now. So I think Katniss wanted to taunt her so she could get the arrow, so that all she needed to do is get a bow. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, she's working it all out. She's got a game plan now. So Peter tells the group, because he's obviously in the careers now, Peter tells the group to wait out until morning. So
I remember this scene.
Yeah, so this is, like, one of the scenes that, like, is most stand out in my mind. I don't know why, because it's not that important. But, I don't know, it's kind of important. But, so Katniss is kind of just hanging out in the tree, just relaxing, you know, having a glass of wine. no, but she's tending to her wounds.
Hey, what's going on, Panem today?
Ooh, Panem TV. I'm going to listen to Panem Radio now.
Turn on to Rebellion Radio yeah. now?
So she tends to her wounds and straps herself in for bed again. Like, tucks herself in, straps herself, she's all good. And then she sees something. She's like, what is that? Like, at first I think she thinks it's a squirrel or, like, not yeah. a squirrel, because that'd be way too small, but something. She's trying to figure it out. And then she sees it's Rue. She's like, oh, hey. and then Rue points to something above Katniss's head. And that's where we leave off.
Oh, here we go, guys.
Is there one chapter that's not a cliffhanger? I don't think so.
I'd love that.
Now, I have a question
yes.
for you.
Sorry.
No, go for it.
All right, go
on. So, this kind of... I probably should bring it up next episode, but it's on my mind now, so I'll just go for it.
Okay.
So, if Marvel didn't kill Rue, and it ended up that, say, Katniss and Peeta, and there was Rue left at the end, mm-hmm. do you think Katniss would have been able to finish Rue off? Like, how do you think that would have played out?
What do you mean, like, finish Rue off? Do you mean, like,
kill her? No, kill her.
Why would Katniss kill Rue?
No, say it's them two left.
Alright.
Either Katniss has to die, or Rue.
Alright. I see.
So Rue does not have the, you know, like, brutal brawniness that Katniss does.
Right.
So, obviously, Katniss would win. But would she be able to do that? Like, do you think she would be able to kill Rue, who reminds her so much of her sister, and this is why she wants to get home for her sister? At this point, she's just mad at her mom. So it's really all for her sister, and to kill someone that reminds her so much of her sister and that she's so close to now.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think she'd be able to do it, to be honest.
Like, so do you think she would have done, like, the whole Nightlockberry thing with Rue? Just like she did with Peeta?
I mean, I think Rue...
Whose idea was it for the Nightlockberries? It was Katniss' idea? Okay.
I think, because I just read that chapter, I think Rue would basically tell Katniss, you deserve to live, you need to free us all from the capital. You're the one who deserves to win this. And I think Rue would probably sacrifice herself.
Yeah, but like Katniss wouldn't let her sacrifice herself.
I know, but I think Rue would...
Do something like, sneaky, like, just take a Nightlockberry, like, really fast yeah, or something.
I think she really would, because Rue knows that she wouldn't be able to fight off the Capitol. She sees that Katniss is a strong-willed person that she is.
Right.
So it would make more sense for Katniss to be surviving.
Because then her family would benefit from it, and...
Exactly.
Her family would benefit more than if Katniss would win than if Rue actually...
Exactly.
...did, so. Well, that's a good point.
So... I think it would just be like, I know Katniss in no right mind would want to kill Rue. Rue would basically give her permission to, in a sense.
Right.
Or just to say, I'm sacrificing.
I'd sacrifice myself to you.
Yeah. So.
All right.
That's our.
So, that was a good segment.
That's a good, we're about 49 minutes in.
You can just say 50.
All right. Well, it wasn't close to 50.
Okay.
So. We're going to move on to, of fanfic followers, which we did one a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we did one on Gale and Madge were, like, paired up romantically. And I really like that one. And I love this segment. I think it's different than other podcasts, so it kind of gives us a new twist and everything. Exactly. So, as we said, this segment is where we recommend a Hunger Games fanfiction. And so, nightlockfix.blogspot.com provides us with fanfic recommendations for this segment. So, without them, this would be a lot harder to do, and we would not have very good fanfictions.
So, thank you. Was it Nightlock Rex?
Well, Nightlock Rex is their Twitter account, so you can follow them at Nightlock Rex. That's R-E-C-S. And their website is nightlockfix.blogspot.com. And so if you tweet them and ask, like, say you really want a Gale and Katniss fanfiction, you can ask for that, and then they'll give you a bunch of, like, good ones so that you don't have to go hunting for one. So the fanfic this week is Wanted Later by Love the Boy with the Bread. And it switches point of view from Clove to Katniss.
No, Clove to Kato.
Oh, jeez. I've just said Katniss so many times. Like, okay. So it switches point of view from Clove to Kato. And so this is to go along with our Kato slash Clove relationship we've been speculating.
And I don't think, did we ever talk about this? Like, how we thought they would be in a relationship?
Yeah, maybe.
I'll bring it up again. Okay. All right, this is completely way ahead of the book. Way ahead and later in the book.
It's just the first book, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go
so
for it.
So, it's like, this is the scene, if you guys read, obviously, if you read the whole book, Thresh is attacking Clove. And Thresh is attacking Clove after Clove was going after Katniss for the backpacks that contained all the necessary items. So, at this point, I give the impression that Clove was shouting Kato's name constantly. And after Thresh crushes her skull with a rock, Kato comes running.
Dents it.
Kato comes running in, and he starts sobbing. He like, holds Clove in his arms.
Yeah.
And he, like, shouts her name, and he starts sobbing. So it's, like, obviously, I mean, if they're tributes, obviously they probably would have done the same thing. But, like, I saw the connection between them. Like,
oh, yeah. I think definitely. The first time I read it.
No.
But maybe the second or third. Oh,
like,
really?
By the way he... It's kind of like the way he was shouting her name and how he came so quickly to her.
Yeah.
And how he just wouldn't let her go is kind of, like, definitely the connection between them. That's why I was so excited to see if we can find a Kato and Clove fanfiction.
Yeah.
We are considering of writing one, but...
We're working hard on this podcast, so...
We don't have time for that.
So, basically, what Matt explained, that scene in the book, is this fanfiction. It's split up into four chapters. Two of them are from Clove's point of view, and two of them are from Kato's point of view. And so they take you through this, this scene, basically. So, we know what happens in the scene, but it's cool to see how Kato is very, like, strong, kind of... We see him as an evil type of person, and I think Clove is the same way. But we kind of get more backstory on them. Of course, it's fan fiction, so this isn't official. But it's cool to kind of play with all the characters.
It's kind of like to see what they're like outside of the arena.
Yeah, and kind of like their thoughts and go in each other's heads. So I'm going to read the first couple lines of it. And if you like it, you can go to our website, nightlock.weebly.com, and go under our fanfic followers tab. And then we have the links to all the fanfictions we've mentioned, which is two so far. So here we go. Maybe it has been here all along, and I've never seen it before. Or maybe it just has come into existence. Whatever it is, it's something special. I look into his eyes, and I see a burning passion that I've never seen anywhere before. Kato is determined to win these games. He has always been. That's why he volunteered. But this determination is different. I'll get you out of here, he states matter-of-factly. I don't doubt him for a second.
Love it so much.
So that's how it starts out.
Oh my god.
So again, that's, you could probably Google it too. It's titled Wanted Later, and you'll see why if you read it. And that's by Love the Boy with the Bread. So.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, so. It's really great.
I'm gonna read it. It's really short.
It's only four chapters, and so it's great. It would maybe take you half an hour tops.
Oh god, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Yes. So. Yes. Thank you, Kira, for that.
Thank you, Nightlock Rex.
Thank you, Nightlock Rex. Thank you. So, we now move on to our final segment, which is my segment, Matt Samadhi's music.
I think this is the second shortest episode we've done.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. Like,
so,
straight to the point.
Every podcast episode, I will play a song by a well-known artist or a Hunger Games fan-made song, yada, 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 that connects to the novel based on chapter discussion. This week, I actually got this recommended to me by Haley, so thank you, Haley, for the recommendation for the song. It's called Beside You, which is by Marensis Trench. And the video that Haley sent me is it was before the Mockingjay book came out, the third book, and people had drawings and artists of what spoilers of the third book would be.
Right.
So I chose that video, and I'm going to post it under my District 9 tab, which is Matt Samadhi's music. So you guys can just watch it. The drawings are absolutely amazing.
The fan art is really cool.
The song is absolutely perfect. I listen to it every day, and I love it. So, thank you, Haley, for that.
You're such a fangirl.
And it's not just that. Well, yeah. So, you guys can submit your own songs or your favorite songs through our Twitter. You can just tweet us at NightLockPod or email us at nightlockpodcast@gmail.com, and we may have your song featured.
And you can find all of that stuff. If you just remember nightlock.weebly.com, you can get to all of that under our different tabs.
So, the song's around 3 minutes, can we?
That's fine. We have plenty of time. Yes. Go for it.
Okay. So, here we go, guys.
But we're not ending the show yet. Like, we're going to say a little bit at the end.
Yes.
So.
So, here we go.
When your tears are spent on your last pretense, and your tired eyes refuse to close and sleep in your defense, when it's in your spine like you've walked for miles, and the only thing you want is just to be still for a while.
Oh, shoot. Damn it.
What'd you do?
Crap.
It's okay. Oh, again, we have plenty of time.
Oh, my God.
Do you want me to play it on here?
No, it just didn't finish loading.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
have the full thing on here.
No. No, it's fine. I'll just re-fix the Wi-Fi. Guys, I'm sorry.
We were doing so well.
This never happens.
All right, well, while you do that, I'm just going to mention the Dark Duels that we kind of mentioned quickly. So the Dark Duels... So the Dark Duels for last episode, our guest host won, Mariah, so far. I mean, you can still vote, but as of now, PETA won Dark Duels, and that was our host, Mariah. And Matt and I are actually tied for second for 6 votes each. So
keep in mind, guys, that Clove is technically 12 years old.
And so I keep forgetting about that.
So
and
so
Kato's 18.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So keep in mind that they
both...
Oh,
that's so weird.
So, yeah, just...
He's, like, a senior in high school, and she's, like, in 7th grade. Okay. That's totally all right.
All right. It's getting there.
I feel like I had to say something else, too.
What'd you have to say?
I don't know.
I'm so sorry.
No, Matt.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, it's okay, though. What else? Oh, can't wait for Halloween. We have our outfits, like, still planning. Katniss. He's going to be probably PETA. We have to fix his hair, though, because he has dark hair. I was going to say he should be Gale, but...
We're thinking about getting, like yellow hairspray and just, like, mix it up, yeah.
Or get a Draco Malfoy wig.
So just
saying.
Look for pictures of us.
Yeah, I guess we'll do that. Reveal our faces.
We're going to have to do it anyway. Do you want to talk about it?
Oh, well, okay, so I wrote a parody for Hunger Games, obviously, and so I tend to do that. So we're planning on recording it, and maybe if we get lucky and we can pull it all together at some point, have a music video, because I'm surrounded by woods, so that would be really cool. I don't know if we'd, like, I don't know, it'd be kind of weird, though.
Why?
Because you'd be PETA and I would be Katniss, and that's a little weird, but that's okay.
Whatever.
We're good friends. It's kind of weird.
We're also thinking about trying to get onto the Ellen DeGeneres show. But
yeah,
I don't know,
that would be awesome.
That'd be so
is
funny.
This loading yet?
Yeah, it's done.
Oh, okay.
Right,
tell me to shut up then.
I'm going to start it again, and hopefully it'll work
from
this
the
time.
Beginning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright.
When your tears are spent on your last pretense, and your tired eyes refuse to close and sleep in your defense, when it's in your spine like you've walked for miles, and the only thing you want is just to be still for a while. I will hold you up. space between the things you know is blurry nonetheless. When you try to speak, but you make no sound, and the words you want are out of reach, but they've never been so late. Tired eyes refuse to close and sleep in your defense. And if your heart wears thin, I will hold you up and I will hide you. When it gets too much, I'll be right beside you. Nobody will break
again, Haley, for that. I loved it. Love it so much. So,
do you like it, Matt?
It's just so good.
That okay. is a really good song. I really like that.
Fantastic. So,
like, I want to see like a montage of like Jennifer as Katniss and Josh as Peeta. Like, I mean, obviously the fan art was like amazing, but
yeah. So I'm gonna post that on my under my tab.
District 9, Matt's Melodious Music.
So, make sure you guys check that. I know. What was the one? There was one for Alice in Wonderland. No, it wasn't Alice in Wonderland. I think it was that one. The person who posted on YouTube deleted the video.
Oh, really?
So it doesn't
work. Oh, because we wanted to show Danny Elfman. You can just put a different...
I know, I'll find another
thing
one.
Of Danny Elfman. It doesn't really matter, you know.
I'll find another one. So, I'll just have to wait for this to load. So,
yeah. No, gonna... I have to say stuff anyway. Can All you go right. back to the...
Yeah.
Okay, well, I feel like that was a very successful episode.
Yeah.
So, again, we're going to mention HungerGamesMovie.org and HG Girl on Fire. Visit them for all news on the HG series and upcoming movie. And as we've said before, we have switched to episodes being released to the second and fourth Sunday of the month. So our next episode will be for November, and that's the 13th, second Sunday of the month. Unless the trailer comes out, then there will be a joint episode after, like, that Saturday. Instead,
That will count as one of our episodes,
right? We have two episodes a month, and that would count as one of them. So again, it'd be awesome if you guys could write us a review on iTunes. If that's one thing you do for us, that would be the one. And if you want to send us a message, you can email us at nightlockpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you write us a review, we'll read those on the show too. So as I always end the show with, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe us on iTunes, and you can find all those links on our website, nightlock.weebly.com, and I'm pretty sure that's under social media or something like that. Mm-hmm. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next episode for episode 9.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.